So what's been your defining moment as a product leader? It's a big question. So big, in fact, that I couldn't fit all of the answers I got into a single podcast episode. Welcome to the Fearless Product Leadership Defining Moments mini-series. In this two-part series, we'll hear how defining moments transformed the way product leaders approach the people and process parts of their roles. In this first episode, part one, we'll focus on process. We'll hear from five experienced product leaders as they describe the moments that defined how they think about the most effective process. In our next episode, part two, we'll tackle the same topic of defining moments, but on people. Welcome to the Fearless Product Leadership Podcast. This is the show for new product leaders seeking to increase their confidence and competence. In every episode, I ask experienced and thoughtful product leaders to share their strategies and tactics that have helped them tackle a tough responsibility of the product leader role. I love helping emerging product leaders shorten their learning curves to expedite their professional success with great products, teams, and stakeholder relationships. I'm your host and CEO of Fearless Product, Hope Gurion. When I'm coaching new product leaders, there's nothing more rewarding than seeing them have that epiphany that transforms their approach for the better. The most impactful epiphanies come from our firsthand experiences. But as a coach, I have the ability to leverage the learning curves of others. This means that I can help new product leaders accelerate their path to confidence and competence. This episode is jam-packed with defining moments that influenced how these experienced product leaders lead their companies and teams. They describe the process changes that dramatically improved how they bring valuable new product experiences to customers. You'll hear from leaders who changed how they clarify the problem they're trying to solve, how they protect time to do deep strategic thinking, how they think about learning from customers, and how they decide on the right product investments. Fearlessly tackling the question, what was your defining moment as a product leader, are Sean Murphy, Vice President of Digital Pharmacy at Optum, Zabrina Hossein, Product Lead at Shopify, Anthony Martyr, Product and Delivery Coach at Harmony, Nicole Brolin, Executive GM for Global Services at Xero, and Dave Washa, Chief Product and Technology Officer at Zoopla. First, Sean Murphy shares his defining moment that came when he reluctantly ran a test to surprising results. This experience taught him a valuable lesson as a product person. Always make sure you're working on the right problem before you go chasing those solutions.
One of them immediately comes to mind right now, which is when I was working at Custom Inc., which is a custom t-shirt company where you go online, design custom t-shirts. We're trying to find that product market fit. It's an entrepreneurial company trying to transform an industry. And a core part of designing custom t-shirts is the artwork you can put on the t-shirt. Yes, someone may have a logo or have other artwork they've already provided, but at Custom Inc., we spend a lot of time in getting the artwork right on the site for all the different occasions that people would make a t-shirt. And so the challenge that I was faced with was we had all this great artwork. How can we unlock and show more of it to consumers so they can pick the artwork that's right for them? You know, one bachelorette party is not, one inside joke for a bachelorette party is not the same inside joke for everyone. So you got to have the right art to express all that. And so our team spent a ton of time working on how can we unlock or show the artwork in its fullness even better. And my boss, the CEO of the company, kept nudging me and saying, Sean, why don't we just make the existing artwork bigger? Like, don't try to show more, just make it bigger. And I said, yeah, but the problem is we need to show more of the artwork. And so finally, I said, okay, we'll set up a little time to run this test where we just made the artwork bigger and we actually showed less artwork, and it led to a dramatic improvement in the results there. And so that's a long way of saying is just, are you sure you've got the right problem in mind as a product leader? And this is probably where, you know, we can easily put our blinders on and become fixated that the problem is we need to show more when it really what the consumer needs is they just need to see it in more detail. So taking the time to pause and say, do we really have the right question before we start chasing after the solution is something that I think all good product leaders struggle with and need to be reminded to focus on to get it right.
Next, Sabrina Hossein shares some advice that really stuck with her. It was up to her to make the time and space for her most valuable activities as a product leader, deep strategic product thinking and writing.
The transition to becoming a product leader isn't a definitive day, but rather a really gradual transition. Sometimes you may not even know it's happening. So what I think you have to do is actually learn how to rebalance your individual contributor work that you've been doing your entire career already with more time spent in the long-term strategic thinking and planning, as well as people management. I think earlier in my career, I was waiting for somebody to tell me, hey, Z, today is the day that you don't do this anymore, and now you do this. You are officially a manager. You are officially a leader. And that day doesn't come. Like, you actually realize over time and through feedback that, hey, you have to create that space for yourself. And so I received some great advice from a lead and realized that it was up to me to clear time in my calendar for deep product thinking, strategic thinking, writing, because those are the things that are really important and take a lot of time and we may not give priority to when we're running from meeting to meeting. I feel like as a PM, it's really easy to get caught up in the short-term work and wins because they're super satisfying. You can be like, check, check, check. I went to all these meetings. I got this out the door and I did that. But to grow yourself, you really need to push yourself to think more big picture, to help define the longer-term strategy for your company or product and team, which will help everyone to do their work better. It's definitely a more uncomfortable process because at first, gaining alignment around longer-term strategies and changing team structures is much harder. Things don't always happen the way you want them to, but you're guiding it in a certain direction. But it's a really important skill to learn and will enable product teams around you to accelerate their development and impact.
Next, Anthony Martyr recalls a talk he heard from a leader at one of the most innovative companies, and the speaker challenged his audience to learn faster than their competition.
Yeah, so a moment in my career which has really defined my approach to being a product leader was actually, so just to give a shout out to the product tank meetups, it was actually a product tank Auckland meetup, probably going back about 2 or 3 years now, and it wasn't even from a product person, it was the learning and development leader for Air New Zealand, actually, one of our flag carrier airline, who viewed it as a very innovative organisation. And he opened his talk with saying, you know, if you want to succeed in the market, it's not about can you outsell the competition, can you out-adopt them, can you out-retain the customers, can you outprice them. It's about can you outlearn them, can you learn faster than your competition, can you incorporate those learnings back into your product and what you're doing faster than your competition. And that was just a light bulb moment, because I was still sort of learning product at that point, and there's also like, well, we need to figure out the why, and we need to measure things, and okay, I need to do all those things. But it wasn't until I sort of had that light bulb moment of if we can move, everybody talks about moving faster. Well, so what's moving faster really mean? Moving faster means that you learn and you pivot faster, and that was that learning, that education moment of. That kind of brought the whole end-to-end product together. And that was both personally for me as a product manager at that time, but also it's really informed my product leadership because I'm able to sort of then give that same insight. And just when you bring in a product manager, it just ties together everything that they do. It's a really powerful concept even when they're working with their teams, because you give the notion of a team of like, can we learn from this? And suddenly all of the agile fundamentals and all that all fall into place as well, that agile turns into mini waterfalls sometimes, but it's like, actually, if we're shipping something because we're going to learn from it, do we understand it? Do we understand the change we're going to make? Do we understand what we're going to measure? And that becomes a forcing function on the team and on the product manager to have all their ducks in a row with respect to doing that. I've had so many examples of shipping things where, looking back at it, I was wanting to see a metric, or how is this metric moving? It's like, well, why does that matter? Oh, because I'm going to use that metric to make a decision about maybe a simple decision about was it successful or not, or a more complicated decision that relates back to maybe decisions we've made earlier about whether this is the right fit or and things like that. So that real light bulb moment came from the notion of not only learning but also learning velocity. Can you learn faster?
Next, we hear from Nicole Brolin, who explains why you must care more about learning from customers than your smart ideas or being right.
The first one that really stands out for me was when I was still a head of product and I was leading our e-commerce funnel. So I was leading, I had revenue targets and was leading and this revenue funnel delivered it was about 35 to 40% of Seek's overall revenue. So highly lucrative, lots of opportunity. And really what I learned through there is we were doing just mass experimentation. So a lot of that is around behavioral economics. You're doing a lot of research and you're working out how it applies to your business. Probably prior to that, I probably had more of a mindset. So I think it's a maturity thing. I think I had more of a mindset of I'm smart and I think I generally know the right answer here. And there's nothing better for that than running experiments in something like an e-commerce funnel, because there's nothing more humbling to tell you that actually most of the time you're wrong. And so through that process and through running all these experiments, what I would find is that almost half of the time, I would have a hypothesis as to how the test was going to play out and why people were going to respond so well to something. Half the time I was wrong. Half the time it didn't go that way at all. It would actually go the other way, which was great learning. But it was really humbling for me as a product leader, and it really set me up, I think, because from that point on, in how I structured teams and in how I think about, kicking off initiatives, kicking off big business projects, I always start from the perspective of most of the time we could be wrong on this. We think we know things, but actually we don't know. And so how do we build a robust process around figuring that out, but not relying on what we know, figuring that out with customers. So I think that was a really defining moment for me.
Next, Dave Washa shares his defining moment in product leadership. He describes the realization that instead of deciding which investments are prioritized, his main responsibility should be to ensure the organization's priorities are well-defined and aligned.
This moment came for me probably 4 or 5 years ago when I was running a decent-sized organization at a fintech company, probably about 100 people. And I came to the realization that the biggest impediment to the team progressing and delivering on our goals was my own personal behavior. I think a lot of us, as we grow up through the ranks of people management and leadership roles, certainly in product, we feel like we need to protect our teams, we need to defend our teams. I think there's a natural inclination, certainly. as you're maturing, natural inclination to try and, separate or silo off the product team and keep them separate from the rest of the organization. And I came to the realization that my behavior in doing this was the thing that was really inhibiting us from becoming successful. And it was me personally, the leader of the organization, trying to, keep the other requests at bay, kind of probably inadvertently limiting the amount of transparency that we were sharing with the organization. It really impacted the stakeholder management, certainly with the senior stakeholders and the investors and the board. It was really started to frustrate people, and it really started to create friction. And the learning that I took from that really was, many of us, and I've had this discussion with many of the people I've mentored over the years, feel like we own the resource, or we have to own the resource, and we have to own the prioritization process and the actual deciding on what the priorities are. And I think that really is unempowering and divisive. And I think the transition I made was to really articulate my role as to clarifying what the priorities of the organization are for, and really working with my peers in the executive team, clarifying what those priorities are, and then making sure that our product and tech resources are aligned against them. So it's not me deciding what these teams are, and I don't have marketing coming to me and asking for something, and I don't have commercial coming to me and asking for something, but we are aligned on what the priorities for the business are. Those decisions are all made, and then my job is just to be a facilitator of making sure that that's done. It's done with high quality. It's done, at pace. It's done with keeping the customer in mind. That's really the role of a product leader, but it's not really about dictating holding kind of resources or priorities.
That makes a lot of sense. And did you just sort of did it occur to you, or like, was there something that was like a catalyst for you having that epiphany or making that shift from I will be the decider to I will facilitate us as a team deciding our priorities?
I think a lot of it was my own personal frustration in that everyone kept wanting to interject. Everyone kept wanting more visibility. They wanted to debate and discuss. And I felt like they were poking their nose into my business. And that is a very immature view of the world, really. and what I didn't appreciate was that everyone feels, you know, cares deeply as we do about what we're doing as a company and how we're serving customers. It's not just the role of product, it's everyone's job. And also in many cases, people's bonuses and their compensation was dependent on the output of the team. And you know, as I think back on it now, it's really naive and immature to think that I shouldn't have been way more transparent than I was being. Really unfair. And I think had someone put me in that position, then I put a lot of those people in the position that I put them in, I would have been a lot less constructive than they were with me.
Defining moments come in experiences that we can't help but remember because they forever change our outlook and approach. One important defining moment for me came when I was working as a product leader at Beachbody, trying to transform them out of their executive mandate, everything is a project way of operating. The coach-facing product team I was introducing to product discovery methods had no informed perspectives to effectively negotiate nor set meaningful goals with their executive stakeholders. While we worked to instrument their products with analytics and give the team quantitative behavioral insights, I ramped up the team's exposure to users by conducting weekly customer interviews with the coaches. Finally, the team was able to see what they were previously blind to, including the fact that there were actually a lot of user segments, newly onboarded coaches, experienced coaches, and impossible to see behaviors in our own platform, including users that were getting their jobs done with never before known competitive products. In weekly stakeholder meetings that used to take the form of status updates, the conversations became more meaningful and informative. The team now had the superpower of user knowledge that they wouldn't easily forget. The conversations became more balanced and the stakeholders more inquisitive. This led to a healthier partnership and ability to set meaningful goals. While the most powerful defining moments come from firsthand experiences, coaches are able to leverage the learning curves of multiple people and bring their stories, experiences, and lessons learned to our clients. And that's why I love my work with product leaders to help them accelerate their path to confidence and competence. I want to thank Sean, Zabrina, Anthony, Nicole, and Dave for sharing their expertise on this episode. And if you're a product leader seeking to improve the product development process in your organization, I'd love to help. Contact me on LinkedIn or Twitter or schedule an initial consultation using the Contact Me form at fearless-product.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of Fearless Product Leadership. If you know a new product leader who would find this podcast helpful, please share it. You can follow me, Hope Gurion, on LinkedIn and Twitter, or subscribe to the Fearless Product Leadership podcast on your favorite podcast platform to be notified of new episodes. You will find transcripts, video versions of each episode, as well as more information on my Fearless Product coaching and consulting services by visiting my website, fearless-product.com.
Fearless Product. Confidence through evidence.